I'm impressed, mate. I am impressed. Well, there. I was told to give it a clump. All right, Father, we give you thanks and praise. You are a good God. It says today the strength will rise as we wait on you. We are gathered in your presence. In your presence there's fullness of joy. You send a word and you heal us and deliver us and set us free. So we thank you today. Would you come by your Spirit? You speak to each and every heart. Right now, Father, this is the day of salvation. Though we believe that in this house something wonderful is going to happen. Lord, we give you praise and we bless you. We honour you. We thank you. We rejoice in your being. Hearts overflow. Thankfulness. All because of Jesus. And in his name we pray. And the saints of God say it like you mean it. Amen. Well, sometimes as a preacher, you know, you get a message that just you can't let go of. So I was out at Whittlesea and I preached, not the same one, but something very similar. I'm out at my own church next week and I will preach this again. So by the time I get to the third one, it might come out right. But I believe it's the word for now. And the word for now is really maturity. So would you graciously turn to the person next door to you and tell them, I'm not there yet. And they look back at you and say, I knew that. But anyway, none of us have arrived. But because I'm speaking to some saints who are a bit more mature, danger comes that we settle. We have reached a level of outward sin, that we are being good Christian people, giving, loving, serving. You know what? Earlier, as I was sitting there, an old curse from the old. You're like going. Trouble stand on every hand. And I think the trouble is, you know, who is it when there was no more battles to win? David, isn't it? When there's no more battles to win, no more things to overcome, no more, it's just that's it. We have not arrived. Alright, so this is a word, or it's not an easy word. Paul sort of says, I didn't hold back from you the full counsel of God. There's a scripture that I wanted to read, and I thought, I might not read it, because they might get upset, but I'm going to read it. So if you want to get upset, start now. And it's Hebrews chapter 5, and it closes like this. For though by this time you, not in this church, this is the other church up the road on. I'll say it loud so they can hear, all right? Well, no, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. But you have come, that's backward. You've regressed. You have come to need milk. Now, there's an interesting concept here that they have. And not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The whole concept of growing up in the Bible, again and again, I found, just again, I was thinking about a few scriptures. Galatians chapter 4, verse, where are we here? 19. Until Christ is formed in you, we are being. Verse 15 of the same chapter says this. We are to grow up into him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Until Christ is formed in you, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, 29. You all know it. Everyone knows Romans 8, 28. Oh, Brother Stroud, don't you know that all things work together to the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those he foreknew, he also justified those he justified, that they might be conformed to the image of his only begotten Son. God is changing us from glory to glory. That is his intention. But I want to say to you today, the danger is we say enough. Smile at me. I know you love me. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, another scripture you all know. For, says Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto good. You do know it. Listen to this one. The New Century Version, got a lot to do, so I've got to go quick. Contemporary English Version and the Message says this. Where he says, I'm not ashamed. It says, I am proud of the gospel of Jesus. For it is the power of God. I am proud. Lots of people are proud of lots of things. They have pride marches because they are so proud. Do you know what? Talk about alphabetic people. LGBTQ, and now I saw this morning, I and A. Don't mean letters left in the alphabet. We need to be proud that we are saved. I'm a Christian. Oh, did you go to church? No, I'm a Christian. I was dead, I was made alive. I was lost, now I'm found. I was in darkness, now I'm light. I was a child of wrath, now I'm a child of God. I am accepted, I'm adopted. I could go on. We need to get excited about this wonderful salvation. But the trouble is, of course, we are saved. You want a title for this message, by the way? Am I saved? Because I can hear the cogs going. Oh, well, I am. Are you? Let me just jump ahead of myself. You are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. You have not arrived yet. Oh, but I stuck my hand up for Jesus in 1947. And listen, you started on a journey. You are saved, eternally secure. God will keep you. God will look after you. Heaven's your home. But on the journey from to. It didn't just stop the day you stuck your hand up. And I think the danger is so many of us. Why do people live a mess? Why does the devil kick them up and down the high street? But Brother Stroud, don't you understand? I gave my life to Jesus. You did, but then you stopped. The illustration of the potter. Oh, I gave him the clay, but I didn't want him to do nothing with it. That's why some of you are a little potty. Then, you know, we start on this journey. And it's so easy to stop. I'm 55 years I've been a Christian. And what? How many times have I rejected the grace of God? Do you want a revelation? I start now and I'll finish at 15:15. Do you want a revelation? Grace needs something to land on. See, you all think you're going to walk down the street and tomorrow, ping, it's happened. No, it doesn't. It's what you lay on the altar, the fire falls on. Want to hear that again? What you lay on the altar, the fire falls on. Ah, God, do something in my anger. Tomorrow, ping. No, there's this thing called self-control where you have to keep laying it on that altar. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy and living sacrifice. What sort of sacrifice? living sacrifice. I remember an African man years ago put it so well. He said, the only trouble with living sacrifices is they jump off the altar. And we bring it and we mean it, don't we? We lay it on the altar until... Yeah, exactly. All right, 2 Corinthians 5. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 5, that's wrong. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 says this. Let him who boasts, let him who glory in the Lord, whichever translation you want to read. God is doing a great work in me. Could you turn to the next person next to you and tell them that God is doing a great work in you? Yes, and not through gritted teeth. I will help you in this very quickly. Listen. You heard the gospel and you got saved. And what's it going to say? I'm not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation. The moment you believed, a power came into you. A power began to work within you, producing what? Salvation. I'm going to jump ahead of myself. Excited. There's two Greek words. This is your Greek lesson for the day. One is sozo and the other one is soteria. Both of them mean salvation. What does that mean, Brother Ken? I thought you'd never ask. It means safety. It means rescue. It means preservation. It means health. It means to do well. It means to make whole or to be whole. And I probably missed out some, but that's enough. The moment you got saved, a work started in you of preservation, rescue, safety, deliverance, health, being made whole, rescuing. Am I making sense to you? Because the danger is we sit here and say, oh yeah, if God's going to deliver me, well, hallelujah. No, I am saved and God wants to bring me from, to, and is at work in me, changing me, transforming me, making me new. And he's doing it for you. Someone needs to get excited about the concept that I'm saved. But I am being saved. Why did Jesus come? He came into the world to do what? Save sinners. God sent his son, that's 1 Timothy. John chapter 3 and verse 17. Everyone knows verse 16. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That the world or those who are saved might experience rescue, deliverance, health. Be made whole. Is it because you're hot? Or someone ought to start getting something by now. I'm excited. I'll just preach to me. That's the easiest way. Our text tells us this, that the moment you believed, something happened in your life. God started a work. Ready? Buckle up, let's do some scripture. Psalm 124 verse 7 says this. Our souls escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Listen, we were slaves to sin. We were going to hell. Death was at work within us. All these things happened, but then we heard the gospel and something wonderful happened. That very moment when you took Jesus to be your Savior, he reversed the curse and now you have been set free. John 8 and 36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. Religious. It depends what translation you read. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be
free.
Indeed. God has started this work in our life. Listen to this. Psalm 34. Now, I'll skip all of that for you because time's getting up on me. That's all about, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. Myself shall make a boast in him. Many shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. For this man called out to the Lord and he heard him and he delivered him. Someone, start getting excited today. You are saved. There's a work going on in us. Because I just want to remind you, God sent me today very clearly just to remind you it's time to change. There's more land to be possessed. Whatever you've got, wherever you are with the Lord, there is more land to be possessed. This side of glory, God has got a great work for each one of us. And someone needs to start saying, listen to this. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing. Confident. This is Paul, by the way. I am confident of this very thing. That he who began a rinky dinky get by work in you. Oh, that's the wrong translation. He who began this good work in you shall complete it. God's intention is to complete the good work that he started in you. Remember, Jesus tells a parable about a man building a house. He says that this man wants to build a house. Does he not sit down first and count the cost? Lest not having sufficient to finish, everyone walks by and say, look at that idiot. He started this work and ain't got enough money to finish it. The day God called you, he counted the cost and said, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient for you. He who began this good work in you. Well done, thank you. I feel secure now. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Is that right? Yes, it is. As for God, remember this good work he started in you? As for God, his ways are perfect. That's a good word, isn't it? Who knows what it means? Complete, whole, nothing lacking. He who began this good work in you, who only does wondrous things, whose ways are perfect, complete, whole, and nothing lacking. God wants to do a work in you and in me, in one of us, all of us, that we are complete, whole, nothing lacking. My friends, each one of us in this room struggle with things. Even when we've got our religious face and our Sunday best. But listen, God's got a plan. And whatever those things are, he's working. And as you lay it on the altar and as you give it to him, he is working. He is working. Again, when we're standing there today and we're singing a song of some sort, God reminded me of this, that the enemies you see today shall not see tomorrow. I speak to you now in the name of the Lord for someone today. The enemies you see today, you will not see tomorrow. They may come again, but they will be defeated. That's just from Scripture, by the way. Listen to this, Psalm 138, verse 8 again. The Lord will perfect that which... All his ways are perfect. Oh, he will perfect that which concerns me. So if... Got it? He only does wondrous things. He will... His ways are perfect, complete, whole, nothing lacking. He will perfect, complete, whole, and nothing. Right now, God is working his purpose out as he is. God is working his purpose out. The only thing, well, we'll get to that next. And I'm getting along quite quickly, actually. Psalm 68 and 19 and 20 says this. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us down with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation. The God, the Lord. And to him belongs escape from death. God, our God, is the God of salvation. It's a lovely one for those of you who wanted it. I think it's Revelation chapter 7. Salvation belongs to our God and to him who sits upon the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. God is a God of salvation. Think of these things where he says like this, I stretch forth my hand and nothing stops me. Jeremiah 32, 27. I am the Lord. Is anything too hard for me? Verse 17. You've made the heavens and the earth, O Lord. Nothing is too hard for you. Jesus put it like this. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things, not some things, whatever you're struggling with today, be that physical, be that mental, be that emotional, wherever you are in life, God says, I can complete the work I've started. And we need to start getting it today that where we are is not where we end. Oh yeah, we're on this journey to heaven. Heaven will be, I am saved, I am being saved, but bless God, the day will come when I will be saved. And then I will see him face to face. And then I will know even as I am known. And then all the things of this earth shall pass away and be sucked up in the glory of God. But until that day, he's working. I'm being changed. I'm not what I was. In fact, I remember someone said once, if you are today where you were yesterday, you are backsliding. There's a challenge for you and I. Oh man, I've seen God do some wonderful things. I've been involved in some wonderful things. But scripture still says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, the good things that God has planned for those that love him. I love reading about revival. I've heard about what God's done in this nation. I've known what God's done in that nation. I've been to Brownsville. I've been to Uganda, a land of revival. I've been to various revivals, seen what God has done, but what God wants to do in me and through me and you. I heard someone say once, you are as spiritual as you want to be. You're as far on with God as you want to be. Cool, that one hurts, doesn't it? Why? Because this concept of grace, you see, suddenly, Nigel, the embodiment of perfection. Why are you laughing? It's your husband.
I know him.
But suddenly, if it's possible to perfect perfection, tomorrow he's going to wake up and no, it ain't. Tomorrow he'll wake up, that's the same today. Unless you and I have got this, God, I'm hungry for you. Change me, do a work in my life. But I am so just fed up with being average. I've been really quick today. You may not realise it, but I have. Anyway, listen to this. I like this. What did we say salvation was? We said we can go complete, whole, nothing lacking. Or we could, and that's the nature of it. But what is it? It's to rescue. Maybe in a situation today that you feel there's no way out. I want to say to you today that God of your salvation can come. Safety. Maybe you just feel like life is just crushing me. I want to say there's a hand that can reach down and pluck you out and stands you on solid ground. Healing, maybe you're sick in your body or in your mind and your emotions, God can heal and make whole. To be whole. To make whole. I look around this room and I see such wonderful people, but believe it or not, I have come from a rather flowery background before I got saved. And you've got problems, issues, you know, but it's so easy to carry that over, isn't it? Into our thinking, into our response, into our actions. That's why we need to go on being saved. We used to know a man who said to me, "Oh, I've got this temper, I'm just an angry man." No, the question is, are you Christian? Well, yes. Are you saved? Yes. Does the Holy Spirit live within you? Yes. Do you believe he who started this good work in you shall complete it? Yes. Does self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Yes. Do you believe that your temper can be controlled? But you don't know my problem. Let's start again. I am being changed. You are being changed. But we will only change as much as we want to be changed.
Yes.
I used to smoke as well. I used to smoke like a chimney. Man, and then I became a Christian, but I still used to, yeah. And people, good Christian people used to say to me, "Man, you can't smoke. You know, Christians don't smoke." I can't tell you how many times I threw packets of cigarettes away. Today is the day I'm going to change. It cost me a fortune until tomorrow. But then one day I came to the place where I didn't want to smoke anymore. It's this day after I got baptized, actually. That's another story in itself. I didn't want to smoke anymore. And the thing was broke. There's got to come a place where we want to change. Until then, I'm going to upset you. It's very unlikely there's going to be much change. I know you love me. Surely God's grace is sufficient. Comes in and lifts us up. Otherwise, I remember doing so well today. I just watched it broke. I remember some of the strange stuff. Not so bad now, not so prevalent. I remember this man who had to come. We picked a family up in the church. I'll make sure no one knows. We picked a family up in the church who were damaged. So they come to me and said, "Oh, we're having a house delivered. Would you come and, you know, we're getting a man in to do it." And I was standing there thinking, "Oh, why me?" But then you stand there, you think, "Well, I'm the pastor, I better go. You're welcome to my world, this is too honest for you." So dutifully I went along. And this was, well, I tell you what, it's amazing. If you did it in the world, they'd lock you up. Honestly, with their vacancy spaces, but they would lock you up. This bloke's opening the windows. Out, you devils. Out, you go. And then he's opening the door. Go! Out, out, out. I'm standing thinking, what on earth's happening here? But then it goes from sublime to ridiculous. I can't remember exactly what it was, but like a postcard that was on the mantelpiece. Oh, it's from France. France, fully fouchier. Everyone flashes their underwear. You spirit of adultery, lust, get out! And I'm standing there thinking, this is absolutely craziness. This is true. I'm standing there thinking, the final comment was, if you need more deliverance, just call me up. And I think, I'm absolutely standing there thinking, what on? Anyway, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Let's try again. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, those who believe in me, these signs shall accompany them. They will lay their hands on the sick. They will cast out devils. We make such a song and dance about it. Jesus said, believe in me, in my name, speak and cast out devils. Why do we have to have such a song and dance about it? Why? Because it's all about me and not about him. That's another story for another time. Right, some scriptures. And I've got, according to this, 2.5 hours. 2 Corinthians 6, chapter 2, says to me, says here. For he says, it is acceptable to, in the acceptable time I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I will help you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Today. Not tomorrow, not someday, not maybe, not perhaps, but today is the day of salvation. The day where he heard us. How many times have you been crying out to him? He says he's heard you. It's an acceptable time. Today is the day of our salvation. I'll give you some more scriptures because I know you always struggle with this. I'm going to skip a lot here. Listen to this. So can, but it's all the grace of God. Ready? We grow in the grace of God. And those who want a scripture for that, it's 2 Peter 3:18. But listen to this one. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has now appeared. The grace of God, that free gift, that undeserved gift, that unmerited gift, that God graciously God gives us has now appeared. And what does it bring? It brings salvation. See, why do I believe in healing? Because I'm saved. Salvation, one of the definitions of that word, healing. Why do I believe the things I struggle with today, I will not struggle with, not necessarily tomorrow, even sooner than that? Because I'm saved. And salvation is at work. Does some of that make sense to you? Yeah. You can just carry on and say, oh, he ranted a bit today. But I am so excited about the potential in my life and in your life if we get the revelation and the understanding that I am being saved, that it's not done yet. But God is at work. God is at work. God is at work. And he will perfect that which concerns me. And he is doing what? I am confident that he who began this began a good work implies. Yeah, you just had an extension built, haven't it, Bill? Haven't you? Imagine a builder turns up and says, well, I began. Yeah. And you ring him up. No, it's all right, I've begun. But what about, no, I've begun. You've got your extension. Well, of course I haven't. Yeah, I've begun. God started a good work in you that he intends to complete. As we let him complete it. And that's back to this bit of being content. But Ken, it's taken me years to get to this place. Good. Good. Sometimes we climb up the mountain, we have a little rest on the plateau, and then we think, oh my word, look at that mountain. But here we go. Ready? A few last scriptures to wrap this up for you. All right, Ken, you said all of that. How does this work? Acts 16, a scripture you all know. Verse 30 and verse 31. What must I do to be saved? What's changed? Exactly the same principle. Grace and faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. Believe that you can be delivered from that thing. Believe that that attitude can change. Believe that God wants to do a work in your life. He wants to bring you out of that prison. He wants to set you free. My soul escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken. My soul is escaped. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Where you are is not where you have to be. There's more. There's more land to possess. What stopped some of Israel possessing their inheritance? They were moved by what they saw. That they had chariots and dirt. Or let's go back to giants. We need to see beyond. We need to see beyond. There's a children's song we used to sing, God's Got a Plan for My Life. I just can't wait to see what's in store for me, for God's got a plan for my life. And here began this. See, we get saved, we start on the journey, we are being saved, we go along on the journey, we will be saved, we arrive at our destination. Don't stop where you are. So much more. So much more to possess. Ready? And this, So that's what I do to get saved. For Romans 10, verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Nor is there any name under heaven given amongst men by which we must be saved. So you read all these scriptures and straight away you go to that moment in history where you receive Jesus. I want to say to you now, when you read it in future, you sit there and you think, God, you want to save me now. By faith, I open my heart, I receive whatever you want to do. That's how faith works. It's not some mystical thing. Oh, I want to have more faith, brother. It's that we take God at his word. We believe when he said, I am going to save you. He didn't mean just to take you to heaven. Because if he did, he could have killed you there and then, wouldn't he? Let's be honest, the easiest thing for God, we get all that grief from us. If the moment I stuck my hand out, he said, oh good, you're gone. But he wants to showcase us. The Bible says we are his workmanship. He wants the world to see what God can do. And that's you and me. Changed from glory into glory. Till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before you, lost in wonder, love and praise. We are saved. We are being saved. So, is that enough? That's enough. Yeah. Here's a scripture for you to remember, though. Just take it home with you. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Easy scripture to remember, great truth contained. Shall we stand in the presence of God? Come on, look at that. I believe in miracles. Well, so the Bible says, Psalm 107 verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Romans chapter 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, I don't know what's going on behind the shutters, you know. We're all good Christian people, we all. But are you saved? Oh, yes, brother, I stuck my hand up for Jesus. And obviously that's a start. And if you haven't done that yet, then you need to do that right now. Just ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Acknowledge that you have upset, gone against God. Ask his forgiveness. Receive what Jesus has done for you. And you will be saved. But what about us? See, I was talking about this more coming in, my wife and I, really, about seeing the wretchedness that lays within each one of us. We're not all that. If we think we can save ourselves, we are deluded. We need a saviour who can bring salvation. We open the door to his grace by asking him, by firstly owning up that there is an issue. And I don't dig and troll and make it up, but if you know you wrestle with something, or all of us have got those ones that we know that we wrestle with, the ugly old self. But I believe when God said, my grace is sufficient for you, he wants to reach into our situation, touch our life, and suddenly we will know that we are changed. Then we go on to address the next issue, step by step, getting nearer and nearer and nearer. So now, Father, by your Spirit, as you move in this hall, as you see each and every heart. It says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. So Father, you see each one of us today. There's nothing hidden from you. We are naked before the one with whom we have to deal. And yet, we believe that the day we started on this journey of faith, a power was released, this wonderful power called salvation. And now you want that to become a reality in our life. So now you see these situations, you see these things. Maybe no one else knows about them. You know the things we wrestle with, the giants we struggle with. And yet you gave David that stone and giants came down. So today, now by your Spirit, we reach out to you. Come on, each one of us, just reach a hand to heaven and just let God minister grace to you, to speak to our hearts. I believe today is a day of deliverance. I believe today is a day of victory. I believe the word I spoke to you earlier, that the giants you see today, the people you see today, the battle you see today, you will not see tomorrow. And I believe something will change as by faith we reach out and grace comes into our life. And we thank you for that today, Father. We're looking forward to seeing change from glory to glory, because you want to make us after the image of your only begotten Son. And for that, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down. Let me just tell you one story, because I always think, while the singers come back. How did I know that salvation had started in my life? You're going to find this hard to believe. My wife knows where I'm going to go with this, I think. Before I was saved, to say I had the ability to use flowery language would be an understatement. I mean, I had a mouth like a drain. Honestly, even in the building trade, I had men come up to me and say, Ken, your mouth is disgusting. Now, for men in the building trade to say that. But then I met Jesus. And something changed. And now, in 50 odd years, I wouldn't say I've dropped 10. And most of them was in that first little changed. That is the power of this. If we don't preach the gospel, it's got power to change lives. What are we doing? Let's become religious. Let's do church. He heals my body. I could tell you again and again where he's met with me and delivered me. Let's not stop at being average. I'm getting my notes, look, I'm stopping. My report card at school always said this: average could do better. In every subject, yes. Average could do better. Maybe in our Christianity, maybe our report card shouldn't read, average could do better, but hungry and still reaching. Hungry and still reaching. Amen. Thank you.